Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining. My name is Sarah Baldwin, and I serve as the Vice President of Student Life. And I'm really delighted to get to see so many of your faces and see your names. And I know that we have both parents and students on this orientation call. So thank you so much. This is a great way to get connected with the services of the university and what to expect when you arrive. And so I appreciate you taking the time out to join us today. So as we go, we've got a jam-packed schedule for you, lots of good information. You may want to sit back and relax. It is a couple of hours, but we will not be more than 2 hours. So I hope that you can get comfortable and enjoy and listen about your students' experience. Also note that the information we'll be sharing today you can find on our parents' webpage. As we're talking today, you will see us drop lots of things in the chat. So you may want to have that open. So you can see as we reference different websites, we'll put that in the chat or different information that you need to have. Also, we are recording our sessions and then we'll post one so that you can come back and review it and see any information that you missed. So the order of our event today is we're going to do a session with student life, then we're going to move on to business affairs, and then finally academic affairs and the Catalyst Center. So we have three different sections today. Throughout our talk today, please feel free to put whatever questions you have in the chat, and we will answer them as we go. And all of the Asbury University staff, you're welcome to jump on in and answer any questions that you can, even if they're not officially in your area. Please, it takes a village, right, to make sure everyone's getting all the information that they need. So we're so glad you're here. We're going to get started with our class advisors. So I will ask them to introduce themselves and tell them a little bit about what class identity is at Asbury.
Hey y'all, my name is Taylor, and I work here in the alumni office at Asbury. And I graduated from Asbury in 2012. And along with my husband, Wes, who's also on this call, we are the class advisors. Wes is a class of 2010 grad, and we just get to love on your students. So we are very excited about that. As we open up our session today, I am going to pray for us, and then we will talk a little bit about what we do. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much just for this group of parents and students that are interested and are coming to Asbury in the fall. I thank you for this campus community that is preparing and ready to welcome them. I pray for the parents as they launch their students into this campus community that you would not give them a spirit of fear or of doubt, that you would give them a hope and trust, and know that we are so ready for them and so ready to welcome them, and that you, Lord, hold all of it in your hands. And I thank you so much just for each student that will be coming and what they bring to this community. And I pray that you would deepen their love for you and that they would learn more about you and learn more about what they want to do with their life. We thank you so much for that. In your name we pray. Amen. So, like I said, my husband Wes and I are class advisors. And yeah, we just represent the Asbury community. So we get to create and cultivate a sense of belonging with the students. We serve as friends, mentors, and we'll be with your students through their 4 years here at Asbury and beyond. So being in the alumni office, I love that I get to help with that transition after college to being alumni and what we can do for them as well. So class identity is such a significant part of what we do here at Asbury, and that's how a lot of our alums and students feel their connection and belonging here. So with your class, you have a class name. So the Ignited class is the incoming freshman class. If you have a transfer student or anything like that, they'll also have their own class identity. And with that comes a class verse and a class hymn. So the significance of the class hymn, the classes sit together in chapel. When it's their turn to sing their class hymn, they stand and sing the first verse together. And it just becomes part of their story here at Asbury. And I know my class hymn, whenever I hear it in church or anywhere, I always want to stand on the first verse still. So we love that identity and that connection that they feel to Asbury. So, like I said, we're here to serve and guide throughout our time, their time here at Asbury, and to just help them with their class cabinet and things like that.
Yeah. So like Taylor said, we're just here to be kind of resources to your students as they are stepping into their time at Asbury. And we'll be working closely, like Taylor said, with their cabinet and with the class sponsors who are members of the senior class this year, who are going to kind of be helping to shape the class cabinet and getting things started at the beginning of the year. But we get the privilege of kind of sticking out the next 4 years with your students as they're going through their experience at Asbury. And Taylor and I are both so, so thankful for our time at Asbury and for all that God did in and through us in that time. And so we just are praying and hoping that this will be a time that that gives a similar experience to your students, and that we'll get to be a small part in that and just kind of help be a resource for them, be mentors, friends, you know, whatever that needs to look like. So that's a little bit about us. And we're just thankful to get the experience, get the opportunity to have this experience and just to hang out with your students for the next 4 years.
Well, thank you so much, Taylor and Wes. Thank you for committing to the Ignited class. And that commitment is through this whole 4 years and then even really beyond. I mean, they will be connecting with your students into the future as your students come to reunions and connect in with their class. So, and it's a volunteer position that they commit to. So we're so thankful for Wes and Taylor for your hearts. And they are the advisors for the Ignited class. Some of you may be either students or parents of transfers. So if you have sophomore students, they are members of the Courageous class, and juniors, the Surrender class. And we do have the Courageous class advisor on here, Michelle Kratzer. She's going to wave at us. Michelle Kratzer is the associate dean of, there she is, associate dean of the Catalyst Center. And she's also co-hosting this orientation with me today. So you will see more of her later, and she'll also, I'm sure, give a warm welcome to the Courageous class. I get to be, my husband Clint and I get to be the class advisors for the Surrender class. So that's a huge honor, and excited to meet those transfer students. So welcome parents and students. Welcome those parents of you who are legacy families that you were students here at Asbury. We're so glad to have you back in this new way, or an ongoing way if you've had other students here. So as welcome to the Asbury family. It's a really beautiful and wonderful group of people to know and belong to. So we're thankful that you're here. So as we're jumping into you coming, let me hit a couple of points about Welcome Weekend. Welcome Weekend begins on Thursday, August 12th. And parents, that's the day you are invited to join your students on campus. You're going to check in between 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. And you're going to go right to your student's residence hall if they're a residential student. So if they live in Glide Crawford, Trustees, Johnson, or Kresge, you're going to go right to their hall. And each hall will have a little bit of a different format. You'll check in outside at a tent at all of them. But the two women's hall, you'll actually pull up in your car, whereas the men's halls, you'll park and then walk to the tent. You don't need to worry about that information, though. You will be directed when you arrive. There will be lots of signs as you come into Wilmore on the two main arteries that come into our little city of Wilmore. And so there'll be signs if you have not been on campus before, if it's been a while, to direct you to where to go. So your first stop is the residence hall. Then you're going to want to make sure that you hit our complimentary lunch to you from 11:30 to 1:30 in the dining hall, and complimentary of our dining services. Thank you. And then also sometime during the day between 9 and 4, you will need to complete your financial registration. So students, you're required to do that. Parents, we really want you to go with your student because it's important information. You'll hear more about that during our business affairs section. But from 9 to 4, that is in the basement of Kinlaw Library. Now what I'm saying, you can find it on the website under Welcome Weekend. So when you hit the Welcome Weekend section, it'll give you the schedule. So it's not just words. You can follow up, and you've also received it in an email. At 2:30, you have an opportunity, parents and students, to meet your faculty. Please take advantage of that, and also an opportunity to meet Dr. Brown and other members of the cabinet. So that's a reception. And then at 4 o'clock is the president's welcome. That's in Hughes Auditorium. We'll get to hear from Dr. Brown. I know it'll be a highlight. We dedicate the students to the Lord. It's a really important part of our Welcome Weekend experience. Then immediately following that, parents, will be time to say your farewells to students. Students are going to be connected in with your tag group. Now, this is important. Every student's part of a tag group, whether they're a new, first-time freshman, or a transfer. And that TAG stands for Transition and Guidance. That TAG group is about 15 students led by a sophomore student, and they are immediately grafted into a group, and they go through the entire welcome weekend with that group of students. So it's a way that we help your student get connected immediately, not just with their roommate or the people on their floor, people from across campus. And we're intentional to build those groups so that there's variety and they're connecting with different people. So that's what the first day looks like. Again, feel free to pop any questions in the chat. Happy to answer them as we go. Now, some of you will have students that come back early. If you're an Archways family, then you've received an email regarding Archways and about your arrival time and when you can move in. So if you have more questions on that, please let me know. There's also an opportunity to be part of an intercultural life orientations. I was going to say retreat. I hope they feel like retreat orientations. And to do that, I want to introduce to you our Associate Dean of Intercultural Life, Dawn Killian. So Dawn, tell them all about intercultural life and orientations.
Thank you, Sarah. Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Killian. I'm the Associate Dean of Intercultural Life. I'm going to share my screen with you here. Okay, here we go. All right, so just want to share with you a little bit about our services here in Office of Intercultural Life. My office provides support in programming for our intercultural students, which is comprised of our international students, our third culture students, and our U.S. ethnic minority students. That's approximately 20% of our student body. In addition, we provide mentoring support for students. So we encourage our students, our intercultural students, to reach out to us, to connect with us, let us know if they're struggling, let us know if there's any ways that we can encourage them, meet with them one-on-one. We love to meet one-on-one with students in our office. So they're encouraged just to reach out to us if they need one-on-one support, individual support. Another thing that our office provides are cultural connection groups. We have monthly meetings, and this provides ways for our intercultural students just to get together with one another, with other students that they can relate to culturally, and we provide meals for them. We get food from various ethnic restaurants, and so they have a little taste of home when they get together, and they are able to just be loved on by our staff and be supported through prayer and just have fun and fellowship with one another. Also have opportunities to engage about issues and concerns that they may have on campus or what's going on in society or back at home in their country of origin. And this is just really a safe and sacred space for them to process some of those things. We also encourage our intercultural students to get involved with our intercultural student leadership groups. So we have five intercultural leadership groups on our campus, and these groups come together. They host variety of educational events on our campus, and we encourage our campus community to get involved, to participate, to come and learn, and to celebrate together the cultural diversity that we have on our campus, and also to engage on issues that are going on, again, in a society and around the world. In addition, our office hosts an annual conference, and this conference is called Embrace Conference. It focuses on racial reconciliation and social justice, and it's presented from a biblical worldview. We also have an Emerging Leader Scholarship Program. This program focuses on leadership development and service opportunities. We encourage our intercultural students to get involved in the community, and so there's many, many opportunities for our students to get involved here on campus and throughout the community. Last but not least, we have intercultural new student orientation. Students, if you are an intercultural student, please, please, please register for this upcoming event. This takes place just a few days prior to Welcome Weekend. So if we have not received your registration, please go on the website and register for this event. You don't want to miss this. And parents, you are encouraged to come. Matter of fact, we want you to come. We have something just for you, parents. Thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Thanks a lot, Dawn. You will want to come to that intercultural orientation. So I look forward to seeing some of your faces there. Also, I neglected to say that student life is all of the support systems for the university outside of the specifically the classroom and the specific academic support. So we do things like spiritual life, student activity, student conduct, student government, wholeness and wellness, which is counseling and health services, residence life, commuter life, intercultural life, as you just heard about. And then we also have the Catalyst Center, which does immersive educational applied learning like service opportunities and study abroad, and our cross-cultural engagement and career and calling. So we have a variety of ways that student life comes alongside our academic mission and supports. So that's what we're about. And hopefully you'll hear great things about the way that student life professionals are blessing and encouraging your student. So one of those professionals is Evan Dzinski. Evan's going to share about our community life program.
Hello, everyone. As Sarah mentioned, I'm Evan Dzinski. It's so good to meet all of you all. And we are very excited and working very hard for the arrival of your students on campus here in a couple weeks and getting all of our resident spaces ready and housing all set up. So, I am, to give you a little background, I am the Assistant Director of Residence Life, and myself and Joe Bruner, who is the Assistant Vice President of Student Life, work together to oversee all of the housing and Residence Life programming on campus. Also serve as a Resident Director, or what we call an RD for short. And so Resident Directors, if you're not aware, are graduate level trained professionals that live in our residence halls with your students. So usually resident directors are either trained in education or ministry, and we just love college students, and people think we're crazy, but we love it. We live in the residence halls with 200 men or 250 women, and it's a great time. We oversee the resident assistants, or the RAs. And we also have what's called assistant resident assistants, which are ARDs. And all of those are student leaders that we hire and bring in and build this team to really make your students feel welcome and, you know, help address any issues that might be going on in the hall throughout the year. And also do great programming and events for your students. So along with that, Residence Life, so you're aware, we partner with Spiritual Life to provide small group opportunities and discussions on the halls, Bible studies. So there's several different programs going on there that your students will become more aware of. But in the residence halls, I want them to be aware of what we call the SLC, which stands for Spiritual Life Coordinator, and the SLA, which is Spiritual Life Assistant. Every hall, every floor has a SLA, which is a student leader that helps facilitate a weekly discussion or small group discussing what's being talked about in chapel along with our major chapel theme for the year. And so it's just a way for spiritual growth and your students just to get together with their peers on the hall and kind of facilitate those relationships and conversations and our walks with Christ. So that's a really cool opportunity. We encourage everyone. We call that Gather, and that happens on every Monday night, and they will definitely become aware of that. So that gives you a little bit of a background, lots of acronyms to think of, RDs, the professionals that live in the residence halls with your students. You've got the ARD and the RAs. Those are community life students who are helping kind of equip and facilitate what's going on in the residence halls. And then you've got the spiritual life team, the SLAs and SLCs that are providing different things in the residence hall to help in all of our spiritual walks. So a lot going on there. It's a lot to learn, but your students will become very familiar with those acronyms and get to know those students. When you arrive, your student will meet their RA right away and get you all settled in. SLAs will also be here helping move you all into the residence hall. So we're preparing for that. One thing that I want to hit on with parents in particular is emergencies, situations where there might be a crisis where you need to reach out and get in contact with your student or get in contact with a professional so that we can get to your student as soon as possible. So one thing to know is that there is always a resident director on call at all times, as well as a dean on call at all times. So if there's ever a situation, what you need to do as a parent is call the main Asbury number that connects you to Switchboard. Once you call Switchboard, that will connect you in with our safety and security team. And you can report anything and, you know, 24/7, the entire year, there's always an RD and dean on call. We also have counselors on call so that we can get to students who are trained and prepared to respond to any situation that might arise on campus. So here in a minute, I will drop the number to Switchboard in the chat so you can have that just in case you don't have that saved somewhere. That might be a good thing to just put in your phone or, you know, have written down so that if an emergency ever arises and you can't get in contact with your student directly, you have a way to reach out to us so that we can help make that happen. Last thing I will say about residence life is, as you're thinking about coming to campus, if you have any questions, you're welcome to reach out to any of the resident directors. So like I mentioned, I serve in Johnson Hall, and then we have Matthew Penny. He serves in Trustees Hall. We've got Elizabeth Loudon. She serves in Kresge. And we have Laura Haugen. She is the resident director of Glide Crawford. So I will drop all of their emails in the chat as well. So if you've got any questions about move-in, you know, the specific residence hall, the building, you know, what's equipped in the building, things like that, you're more than welcome to reach out and we'll gladly answer those questions. Last thing that I want to talk about quickly is commuter students. So commuter students are welcome everywhere on campus. And this is very important. A lot of times it can be maybe a little bit more difficult for commuter students to really connect into the community on campus, but we're doing everything that we can to really allow commuter students to have the opportunity to experience Asbury community to its fullest. So like I mentioned, commuter students are welcome anywhere. You know, the residence halls, they are welcome. If they have friends that are in the residence halls, they want to hang out, they want to study. We have open residence halls on Friday and Saturday nights where men can go into female residence halls and women can go into female vice versa. So they're welcome to come to all of those events, and we would gladly welcome them and get them plugged in. They can do intramurals. Anything that's available on campus is available to them. All of our spiritual life things like gathers, they're welcome to join in on those if they have friends on a hall. Our banded discipleship groups, which is another opportunity that you all will learn about. So just all sorts of different opportunities. I will mention for our commuter students, one thing to be looking out for is the first week of classes. There will be an email sent out that will be inviting them to a meeting that will kind of go over all of the opportunities specific for commuter students, including a weekly Bible study that we're going to be doing this year with them. So a really exciting opportunity for commuter students and get them connected and plugged in even with other commuter students. So that's a really cool opportunity. So again, I'm going to drop some information in the chat. Feel free to reach out if you got any questions. And yeah, we're looking forward to meeting all of you in the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Evan. And I may have neglected to say, commuters and commuter parents, when you check in for welcome weekend, your commuter check-in time is 1 to 2:30 in the afternoon at the Student Center desk. It's called the Steward's Desk. The Student Center is called the STUCE, by the way, S-T-U for student, C-E for center. So STUCE, it rhymes with loose. So all those acronyms. Anyway, so they come to the STUCE and pick up their welcome packet. And parents and students, you're going to get a t-shirt in that packet. You're going to wear the t-shirt to, if you are an Ignited class member, to our president's welcome. So you'll get more information on that as you check in. So commuters, looking forward to seeing you. All right, I'm going to share my screen here. I think I ran into this trouble yesterday. I thought I had it all, or the other day, I thought I had it all ready to go. Okay, I think I do now. Heidi Sunny, our Director of Health Services, is not with us today, so I want to give an update from health services, because that's an important part of our community life experience. So we have a Center for Wholeness and Wellness, and Student Health Services is the physical wellness side of that center. So we also have counseling available free of charge for your students. Today, we're going to focus on our medical care. So the Health Services Center is located on right in campus, right near Kresge and behind the dining hall on College Street. And it's a comprehensive health center. We have a doctor and two nurses, so students can receive doctor treatment and prescriptions. So the kinds of things that we do at the Health Services Center, we evaluate illness and injury. We do lab tests, medications, allergy shots, physical exams. We do referrals to specialists and other doctors. So what's really amazing about this is that there's no charge for these nurse doctor visits, and we don't bill insurance. So your student can have access to a doctor. We have appointments on 2 days a week, but then there's nurses available all through the week. Oh, and it says that right here. It's open Monday through Friday, 9 to 3. And when your student connects in with health services, then they'll make an appointment for the student to come and either see a doctor or nurse, depending on the issue. We do follow the HIPAA privacy laws, meaning that if the student is under 18 years of age, we must get your permission to treat the student. And if they're over 18 years of age, the student must give permission in order for health services to talk with you about their medical care. Remember, have your student check on their Asbury checklist in their portal. There's a health history, which is an online questionnaire, and we also really need an updated copy of immunizations and a copy of your insurance card. That helps us, the insurance card information helps us know for lots of things in the event of emergency, but also and when we're trying to refer people to specialists or other doctors or lab work that we cannot get completed, our nurses work hard to make sure that we're finding other practitioners that fit in line with their insurance information. A COVID-19 update. You may have seen an email from me and other information from Dr. Brown that we are encouraging our students to get vaccinated and upload a copy of their vaccination card. So there's a link your student has received so they can upload that vaccination card. And that just enables us to not have to quarantine them if they're exposed to COVID. We do follow the CDC recommendations for quarantine and isolation. We encourage people to go home for quarantine and isolation because it can be pretty challenging on a student's mental health to be in a small room for that long of time. However, we know that some students have to stay, and so we're prepared to meet that need. We're encouraging students to bring a mask just in case. We're not requiring masks. We do encourage students to follow the CDC guidance around mask wearing if they're not vaccinated. A little bit more information on quarantine and isolation, that students who are unvaccinated or have not shown proof of vaccination will be required to quarantine if exposed to someone that tested positive for COVID. Our nurses are really excellent at helping students identify and manage symptoms and determine if they need testing. And we're really prepared to help students get aware of when and where they can get a test and get that information turned around as quickly as possible. An update from Wednesday, this says COVID testing will not be available on campus at this time, but actually we just found out yesterday that the Jessamine County Health Clinic Health Services Department is going to give us some COVID tests. So we're happy to have some PCR tests that we can manage ourselves. So that's going to be a great blessing for us to make things a little bit easier. So we're looking forward to partnering with your students so that we can return to regular this fall. No one is more excited than we are to return to regular this fall. It was really challenging. So I'm so thankful that your students are going to get to have as typical of an Asbury University experience as possible. So that concludes the student life portion of our orientation today. And I will answer some of those questions in the chat, but we're going to move on to our business affairs section. So Glenn Hamilton is our Vice President of Business Affairs and CFO, and I believe he's on the call somewhere. Glenn, are you here? We got done a little earlier than perhaps we were planning on. So he may not be here yet.
Sarah, can you hear me?
Yes. Are you there?
I am. Thanks so much. I had a little trouble switching the camera on. So.
Okay. So sorry, Glenn. Glad to have you.
Thank you. I want to say hello to everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today. We are thrilled to get to talk with you and help give you information that you'll need to prep for the starting fall semester. Let me start with just a couple of comments, and we'll talk about campus employment. We'll talk also about student billing, financial aid, dining services, campus security, and information technology. So we'll talk about all those groups, and we'll have several individuals who will be speaking over the next few minutes. So let me start by again saying welcome to Parent Orientation. I am both a parent and a product of the institution. So I have sat in your seat and I've sat in your student seat. And I am I'm just thrilled that you've chosen to engage with us for this fall semester for your students. So let me just jump right in. I have a small presentation. Sarah, if you would let me share screen, that would be great.
Yeah, you should be able to just click on that share screen.
Great. Is that coming through? No, sorry, I'm a little slow. Beg pardon.
You can see each of us, when we figure that out, it takes us a moment.
It's just a minute.
We see it.
Thank you, Paul. I want to start by talking a little bit about working on campus. Again, as context, let me say this. My role is the VP for Business Affairs, so I have oversight of several of the functions we're going to talk about. Unfortunately, our HR director can't be with us today, but our campus employment is coordinated by our human resources office. So a couple of things to note, that there are jobs available on campus for students. They are posted on our website. That posting is overseen or coordinated by our human resources office, and it'll give information for students who are interested in working on the campus. Your student would have received an email, and I believe that's come to both the email that admissions has been communicating with, as well as their asbury.edu email, where they would receive information about how to find jobs, along with copies of standard employment forms like I-9s and W-4s, which will be required to be completed. Your student, if they're going to work on campus, will have to have certain IDs. The federal government requires that we verify their identity, meaning they are who they say they are, and their right to work in the U.S. So typically, that will be a combination of a driver's license and a Social Security card. It doesn't have to be that. The forms that your student got gives you lots of options. A U.S. passport suffices as well. So if your student calls and says, hey, somebody's asking to see these original documents, we really are, and that'll be necessary for us to see original. So if you want to send them with your student or bring them along for the orientation, that might be helpful down the road. Just a word on direct deposit. All student payroll goes direct deposit. Your student will be given opportunity to sign up for that. And that'll be the same process by which your student will sign up for refunds on their student account. And so I know Atlanta is going to address that for just a little bit, you'll hear from some folks today from student accounts, Atlanta Bridges, from financial aid, Desiree Gillis, from dining services, you'll hear from Tina Miller, from our IT department, you'll hear from Paul Dupree, and from campus security, you'll hear from David Hay. So again, thanks for joining us, and I'll go ahead and turn this over to Atlanta Bridges. No, Atlanta's getting there, there you are. Thanks, Atlanta.
All right. Too many little boxes and trying to unmute myself. Welcome. I am Lana Bridges, coordinator for student accounts, and our staff is here to help you navigate what may seem like a strange new world of higher education finance. We have provided a financial checklist on our student accounts webpage to answer many of the questions that you will have for billing and payments. And that website is asbury.edu/student-accounts with an S. And we will continue to update that as things change or we have more information that would be helpful to you. I'm going to quickly run through that checklist, but know that you'll be able to go back to it and review it for more information later. What we call financial registration is something your student will need to complete every semester. And that's where they go in on their portal, the student portal, and choose their meal plan and provide information about their insurance, just confirm that they still have the same insurance. They can register for parking. There's several components to that. And even if the answer is no, all those components need to be answered. You have an option for I'm not bringing a car or I qualify for no meal plan. So just complete those things, help them work through that. Students will need to work with you to allow you access to all the information that you will need if you're going to help with bill payment and just reviewing the details of their registration each semester. So several points. First, I would recommend that you help them, encourage them to complete a privacy form. It's a joint form between financial aid and student accounts. So if you filled out one, that's the same thing. That will allow us to talk to someone other than the student. They can list anyone on there that they'd like for us to be able to talk to. Other than parents, if they have a sibling here, that's helpful. If grandparents are helping, it would be good to have those on there. Otherwise, we will not be able to share detailed information with you. Also, Paul Dupree will talk more about this, but we have a new shared portal where the student can give you access to have your own login and see the information on their student portal. And it is helpful for you to have your own access so that we know who has signed in, signed up for various things. And it allows the student to grow in financial responsibility so that they are taking care of some of their own business, but you're kind of keeping an eye on things to make sure it all gets done. The third thing on the portal that I would say you would want to work with them to have access as an authorized payer to Transact/CashNet. They're in the midst of changing their name. So you'll see both in various places. But the monthly statement notices we send out, you will receive an email if you're an authorized payer. You'll also have your own access to go online and make online payments and set up payment plans. That's particularly helpful if the student follows ITS guidelines and changes their password to their portal, you'll still have access to all these things. Students also can, we will want to make sure that they have done financial registration and that they have accepted or declined their loans, made modifications, and Desiree Gillis will talk more about that. But before you look at the term billing summary, really, that is the point you are going to want to focus on, because although there are monthly statements, the term billing summary on the portal is up to date within 24 hours. The only thing that is not updated immediately would be payment plan changes, and that takes overnight. So it's a 24-hour turnaround if you want to see changes to that. Otherwise, you're going to get right what it is today. And if you see it and say, still something missing, or you have questions, that's the point that you want to note. We do ask for the payment from the term billing summary by the first day of class, or set up a payment plan to cover the balance that's shown there. If the balance is in parentheses, that means that your aid and choices of payment have created a negative balance. So that's like an overpayment. You may want to adjust a loan or whatever is appropriate, but just take into consideration that means that it's too much. Don't pay that amount. The other things that I would want you to note before you determine your payment strategy would be if you're expecting additional loans or scholarships that are not there, do subtract those off before you make a payment. When I say payment in full, I mean of the amount that you anticipate. So if there's another $1,000 scholarship that financial aid doesn't have yet, do subtract that off and pay what you think is closest to the correct amount. We can always follow up later. But about if it turns into an overpayment, we have already sent information to Bank Mobile, our partner, that will get refunds and payroll to your student. And they will have the opportunity to log in and enter their bank information for direct deposit. And that's what we recommend, is for them to put their direct deposit information in. If there's some circumstance that you know there's going to be an overpayment that they want to hold, they can contact us or financial aid to say, please hold that for the next semester. So in the fall, you can hold it for spring. So if it's an overpayment from you, then we'll be happy to do that. We just need to have their confirmation that's what they want. And last, I want you to know that we're here to work with you to help your student learn over the course of their time here how to take responsibility, do their own financial decisions. I really hope that you will encourage them to look at their term billing summary, to talk to you about it. Even if mom and dad are helping or taking care of that balance, it is so vital for them to understand what you're doing for them. And they will know more about that as you encourage them to participate in that process. You can contact us by email anytime, student.accounts@asbury.edu. Or visit the webpage that I gave you, asbury.edu/student accounts. And we really want to walk through this process with you and help demystify some of that. Welcome. We're so glad to see you, and I look forward to meeting you. Now Desiree Gillis is going to share more about financial aid.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Like Lana said, my name is Desiree Gillis. I'm the Assistant Director of financial aid. Like Glenn, I'm also an alum, as are my children. So I have a great affinity for Asbury. It's very close to my heart. And I just want to say welcome. We're so glad that your students will be here in just a matter of weeks. We work the whole year getting ready for them, and it gets down to the final few weeks, and we just get anxious for them to be here. So glad that time is coming very soon. I've just got a couple of minutes, so I'm just going to touch on some high points that we want you to be sure that you're looking into for us. If you file FAFSA and you have loans as part of your financial aid award, action is needed for you to receive those loans. So you would either need to accept them or decline them, or if you wish, you can reduce them to an amount that you need to help cover your balance. And you would do that by logging into your student portal and clicking on your offer letter or your award letter. Once you do that, you will submit it. There are a couple of other things that need to be done, which is your master promissory note and your entrance counseling. When you're on your offer letter and your portal, at the top half, there's a yellowish box and it's got a link in it. It's got the two things that you need to do that I just mentioned, the MPN and the entrance counseling. We recommend you allot about 25 to 30 minutes to do this. It's the promissory note is pretty quickly, you know, cut and dried. You get that done. The entrance counseling, you're going to read some material, answer some questions, read and answer. It's just helping your students to understand that they're borrowing federal loans, that these are to be repaid once they finish school. It goes over their rights and responsibilities as a borrower. So the federal government and Asbury just want to make sure that your student is informed and that they understand what they're getting into when they borrow loans. So those things are very important. You only have to do this one time during the course of your career, as long as you're at Asbury. If you, you know, should leave and go to another school, you may have to do it again, but it's typically one and done. So just get it done and that's over. Lana already mentioned this. I'm just going to iterate what she said about the privacy notice. It's a federal regulation. We're prohibited from speaking with anyone other than the student regarding his or her financial aid, student accounts, grades, anything like that, without the student's written permission. So we do have a privacy form. The packet that went out from financial aid with your student's original offer letter in it would have had a privacy notice form in it. So many of you, I know, have returned that already. If you've not done so, you can find it on the Asbury University webpage. Go to financial aid, and under forms, you'll find it there. You can submit it, or once you get to school for orientation, which is coming up, you can take care of that here. But that's just a very important piece so that we can speak with you regarding your student's account here at Asbury. Church match. I know many of you have already gotten that in, and you're seeing that reflected on your student's financial aid award. If you have a church or religious organization that wants to help support your student financially and wants to send money in, Asbury offers a $500 per semester matching grant. We need the money from the church or the religious organization by the first day of class this fall, and that is for the whole year. We split that between the two semesters, so have them send the check in along with the application, which is also available on our forms page, and we'll get that applied to their account as soon as possible. The last thing I want to mention is just that we typically communicate with your students via their Asbury email, and we do send a lot of things out during the course of the year. We try not to bombard them, but there are just a lot of important things that we need them to take care of. So if they would check their email regularly, that would be really great. Have them correspond with us when they get something. If they're not sure, have them come into the office and we're glad to walk through it with them, or have them, you know, get in contact with you and have you look at it with them and figure out what it is. But just to, you know, to not ignore those things, they're important, and just to check them regularly. I know a lot of times in financial aid, there are questions that people don't want to ask outright. They'd rather have a private conversation. Our web address is financial.aid@asbury.edu. So if anyone has questions that they would prefer to not submit in the chat here, please feel free to submit it by that method, and we're glad to respond to you directly. If there's any questions, you know, fill them into the chat. I'll try to answer them here for you. And that's all I have for financial aid. And I think we have Tina Miller up next from our dining services.
Hey, sorry, had a little trouble with audio too. So welcome, Ignited parents and students. We're so happy to have you at Asbury, and we're really excited about this academic year. So we're also excited to share with you that dining services will be fully open this fall as of right now. And what that means, so downstairs in the dining hall, that means we'll have our main traditional fare on the front line. We'll have our fast food concept on the back line. We have our healthy choice station featuring primarily vegan and vegetarian options. We have our rotisserie with a variety of roasted and carved entrees daily. And that features a farm to fork Monday. And I'll tell you, if you're not from Kentucky, we have an outstanding program called Kentucky Proud. So we feature local farms and other entities like Weisenberger Meal products. So we really try to show our Kentucky heritage, and especially on those Mondays. Then we also will have a deli station featuring weekly specials, a dessert station with also with fresh fruit, a toaster station with things like bagels, English muffins, all the condiments for that, as well as cereals. And we always have gluten-free options in those as well. We'll have our fabulous make-your-own salad bar. So we're really excited to have that back. I know a lot of folks have been asking. And then our section called Possibilities will have a rotation station that features pizza, pasta, grinders, build your own burritos, things of that nature. So that changes daily. Along with that, we have our self-cook omelet station, self-cook stir-fry station. Both of those are all gluten-free for those of students that have allergy issues. We have a self-cooked waffle and pancake station with toppings, hand-dipped ice cream. Students are going to be so stoked to have that back. I just can't tell you enough. And then our soft serve ice cream, which is gluten-free and dairy-free, so very allergy-friendly. Also, of course, we have three full drink lines featuring Pepsi products, 100% juice, vitamin water, soy milk, our aqua fresca, coffee, tea, and more. So lots there. Then upstairs in ZT's Bistro, we're going to be back open with extended hours. So I know our students are going to be so excited for that. That's 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Friday. There's a large exchange menu. What that means is they'll be able to swipe and use a meal exchange for that, and not necessarily have to pay retail, although that option is available to use cash or Eagle Bucks as well. So we do made-to-order sandwiches, wraps, entree salads, quesadillas, nachos, of course, assorted individual pizzas. And then we also have a variety of grab-and-go items, sandwiches, entree salads, bottled drinks, all kinds of stuff. So if your student's in a hurry and we are closed downstairs in the dining hall, it's a great option to get them through with these busy schedules. We also have Pepsi fountain products upstairs as well with flavor shots. They really like that. And who couldn't resist but our famous bistro cookies. So I'm sure if you haven't heard about them, you'll hear about them soon. If your student has food allergies or other challenges with dining services, please, please, please have them meet with me, because I can help them navigate our food program. And I work closely with Heidi Sunny and Student Health. So we want your student to have a great, great experience with campus while they're here with us. But I can help them navigate, because if I don't know about a problem they're having, I certainly can't fix that. And we want them to have a great experience while they're here with us. If your student is an athlete, we do recommend block plans as far as meal plans for greater flexibility around their busy academic and athletic schedules. And you'll see when they go into the financial registration section, when your student does that, they'll need to select a meal plan. When you see the ones that say student, family, friends, so it says five, that means the student can swipe up to five times per meal period. So if you're in town or a good friend of theirs is visiting, they could swipe not just themselves, but up to four other people.
Looks like we lost Tina. Give her a second to come back.
Paul?
Yeah.
If Tina doesn't jump back in, since you're next up, maybe you'll just... sure. And we can be flexible. Hopefully she'll jump back in.
Absolutely. And one of the things you must have noticed about Tina is she's... very full of energy. She puts IT people to shame. We're more steady, a little less emotional, a little more fact-based. But I do like following her because I have a big appetite by the time she's done talking, telling us about all the food services options, which are fantastic. So until we hear back from Tina, I will continue. My name is Paul Dupree. I am the head of IT services here at Asbury University. And so information technology is the IT. And I've been here since the year 2000, so a little bit over 20 years. I had two children and both of them attended Asbury and graduated from Asbury. And I also did my undergraduate work here at Asbury University. The technology department or IT department here at Asbury is made up of 16 full-time staff and a little bit over 40 student workers we have throughout the year assist us in our mission of supporting faculty, staff, and students. And I'm going to share a screen here, but first let me go ahead. All right, so I've got the parent information page link that I just shared. And I want to also share the technology orientation page that we have for new students. So let me go ahead and screen share to show you what we've got for that. Just make sure it's working. So Glenn or Sarah, do you have the, can you see the screen that I'm sharing, the web page? Good.
Yes, we can see it.
Yeah, for parents. So that's this is the page that I just shared a link on the chat. And if you scroll to the very bottom of this page, and there's a lot of great information here, you'll see a section that says Parent Orientation Resources. So I want to call your attention to this information technology link, which takes you to this particular page. I also put the link for this page in the chat for you for easy access. And everything that I'm going to go over is on this page, so you don't have to write quickly or try to capture everything. If questions come to mind, please go ahead and ask them in the chat. First thing I want to point out is the section that says how to log into your Asbury account. Here at Asbury University, the email account, or sometimes referred to as the network account, is critical to access systems or resources online through throughout the university. And we have several important systems, such as their email account or their email access. We also provide access to something called Office 365, which is the online version of Microsoft Office. We have a learning management system, as it's referred to, which we have called Discovery. And then, of course, throughout the campus, we have computer labs, as well as a student portal, which we'll talk about in a little more detail in a second. But on this landing page that I'm showing you, there's critical information for students to be able to access their account. If they need to change their password or if it gets locked, they can. It's a self-service option. We provide videos to walk them through, short 1 to 2 minute videos to explain how to unlock or how to get a particular service or action. Of course, when they're on campus, they most likely will be connecting to the campus Wi-Fi network. So we provide information on how to do that. And I should point out that's, we know students bring a lot of different devices, network aware devices, smart TVs, gaming stations, a Roku or various streaming devices. And so we have a way in which they can register these devices to connect to the network. It helps us maintain network security and accountability for every connection on our campus network. I had mentioned in passing about the student portal. Lana Bridges mentioned a new function of the student portal, but the student portal is critical for students to enroll, to register classes each semester, see their class schedule, view their student accounts information, access grades. But recently, we've added a new feature to it, which will let the student grant access to another person, specifically grant access to information the student wants to give access to, such as grades only, or grades and schedule, or and it goes on. But the student controls what kind of information can be seen and who can see it. This is all initiated by the student. IT services cannot grant anybody access to the student's information. It has to be driven by the student through our systems, through the portal. And also, as mentioned by Lana, we have a separate payment system. The term we use is a payment gateway or a payment vendor. It's called CashNet. And that system also has that same functionality where they can deputize or invite someone to have access to their billing information and pay on their bill for them. So those are two ways or two separate systems where students can grant access to them and it's driven by the student's actions. Scrolling on down the page, I want to take a brief stop at printing and computer labs. Throughout the campus, we have computers and printers located where students are provided. In this case, we give a monetary amount per page, but it comes out to 400 black and white printouts. So 400 pages per semester can be printed by a student, or any mix of color and black and white. The color is more expensive. It's a total of 160 color pages if that's all they did. So often it's a combination of the two, color and black and white. So the number will vary depending on the number of the quantity of black and white versus color printouts. But our experience this past year or the past couple of years is about 98% of the students stay under the allotment or the budget which we provide them. In other words, it's sufficient for their needs. They're able to do all their printing all semester and not run over. If for any reason they do run over, there will be a charge posted to their student account for the extra amount. But that has not been a problem. In fact, I think last year, because of the way in which we were operating primarily online for part of the semesters, it was non-existent in terms of overage charges. The last thing I want to point out is ID cards and computer support. We do use an ID card for many things on campus, including access to residence halls, dining services, library services, a coffee shop. So it's important they use and get their ID card when they hit the campus and keep track of it. We can replace it if it gets lost or damaged in some way. There's a small fee for that. We also provide Microsoft Access licenses for every student. So Microsoft suite of software, Office Suite, is available and can be downloaded from Microsoft by them logging into their Asbury account. Details can be found on this page that I have in front of you. And that's pretty much it for IT services. And I want to turn it over now to, let's see, is Tina back?
I'm back.
Okay, let me turn it back over to Tina and let her finish up.
Thanks so much, Paul. Hey, y'all. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. Paul might explain it, not me. So wanted to finish explaining about meal plans. So again, the block plans, so the ones that say five student family friends, those are the ones that have greater flexibility that I was suggesting for student athletes. That way they could perhaps come down, for example, and have an early meal in the dining hall, go to a practice or whatnot. And then if they're hungry after practice, then they'd be able to go upstairs to the bistro and swipe again for an exchange meal upstairs. So that's why we suggest that. Also, for flexibility with all students, we have Eagle Bucks. Eagle Bucks can be purchased via the link online. That'll give all students flexibility with purchasing at not only the bistro upstairs, but also the Hiccup in the student center, the Hiccup 2 in the library, and the Eagle Outlet. So if they want to pick up a little swag, so that'll be nice. Also, we have lots of jobs available. We're the largest employer on campus, so we have lots of flexibility and the students get to pick their shifts. So we really work with them on that. Gives them great experience to build a resume as well. If you have any questions today, you can reach me at diningservices@asbury.edu. So again, diningservices@asbury.edu, and I can put that on the chat in a moment. Also, on that link I was talking about for Eagle Bucks, parents, you can also purchase treat orders for your student. They love it, especially birthdays. We do cakes and other treats, but the most popular are giant cookies that we custom make. We can do custom colors, put short messages on there. So all kinds of things we can do with that if you are interested. Trying to think if there's anything else. I think that pretty much hits it. And you've already heard from the fabulous Paul Dupree in IT services. So that's it. And have a great rest of your day.
Let me hand off to David Hay with our safety and security office.
Thank you, Paul. Hello, everyone. Welcome. My name is David Hay. I have the privilege of serving as the campus safety security director. I have been at Asbury now for almost 8 years. And in my previous life, I was employed with the Kentucky State Police, retiring in 2012 as a state police captain. I'm going to share my screen for a very short presentation, I hope. Okay. If you have any questions or concerns related to safety or crime on campus, please feel free to contact me. I will put my email address and some contact information in the chat here in just a minute. You can always call the switchboard, which the number is there. It's open all year round. Either a switchboard operator or a dispatcher will answer your call. If you have a situation at 3 o'clock in the morning and you really need to talk to somebody and it's in my area, call this number. Tell me you want to talk to the director of safety and security. I will call you back. It's not my area, we'll get you connected to the right place. Some highlights of what my staff does. We are non-sworn service providers. We have 24/7 security on campus. We administer an emergency notification and safety app called LiveSafe that we will talk to students about when they get here this semester. We offer after-hours transport for campus. We are trained in first aid and CPR. We oversee parking on campus, and we'll get information about parking stickers and where they need to park. And on my staff, besides myself, there are two other retired police supervisors. So we have a lot of experience in law enforcement and in emergency response. Likely encounters that we will have with your student, we engage with them continually. We'll see them at chapel, campus events, educational programs and meetings. We sponsor self-defense classes. The women actually have a self-defense club, and we teach self-defense classes to the men as well. If they have a crime or an accident on campus or in the immediate area, just outside campus, we can meet with them. I'm happy to talk with police with them. We're used to doing that. We have an excellent working relationship with our first responders in the area. Or if they have a parking concern, we will be happy to talk talk with them about that and get them on the right track. Campus is a relatively safe and secure environment. The most reported crime we have on campus is thefts from vehicles. Unfortunately, these thefts tend to be primarily unlocked vehicles where valuables are left in plain sight. So we encourage students to lock their vehicles, take the valuables in, and that will cut down on the number one reported theft on campus or crime on campus. Two reports that you may want to look at, and I put these in the links in the chat, the annual fire and safety report, which is required by federal law for crime statistics, and our daily crime log. This year, we've had four crimes reported on campus since January. Three were thefts, and one was a trespass complaint at the Equine Center. So we're able to have a low crime. We also tell them they still need to be vigilant. They're not going to be at Asbury forever, and we want to communicate well with them and them with us. If you have questions, please submit those to chat. I will hang around for a little while and answer those. And if not, please feel free to call or email me later. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, David and Glenn and all of your team there in Business Affairs. Really thankful for the excellent work that all of these folks provide for your students. Asbury knows how to take care of your students well. My name is Michelle Kretzer. I've worked here for 6 years in student development. I'm not an Asbury alum myself. So if, for any of you, if your students are the first in your family, I've just had this 6 years of getting acquainted with Asbury, but I have found it to be an incredibly hospitable, welcoming, supportive, challenging community to be a part of. So we're going to move now into the portion of our time together where we're going to talk about academics and then the services that help to support the work that your students are doing in the classroom. So we've spent an hour and 15 minutes talking about lots of things that are happening outside of the classroom, but we also want to give some time and attention to the schoolwork that is a significant part of why your student is coming to Asbury. So I'm going to turn it over to Cheryl Voits, our registrar, and then there'll be a number of different people who will talk with you about support services for academics.
Thank you, Michelle. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can. Great.
Thank you very much. And I add my welcome to everyone else who has already said hello to you today. We have been preparing in the registrar's office for your students through their schedules and have seen and prayed over names. And we are just excited to meet them. I'm going to start by welcoming you on behalf of our Vice Provost, Dr. Timothy Campbell, who is traveling today and cannot be here himself, but he sent his greetings, so I'll be sharing those with you, not quite as he would himself, but I'll do my best. He shares, "Very soon your student will begin their academic career at Asbury, and whether some of that is online or their coursework is mostly in seat, the pursuit of a mutual illumination of faith and scholarship remains strong, as does our desire for them. Your student is not only going to make significant gains in their intellectual, emotional, and spiritual capacity during their time, but also independence and control over their lives. Academic Affairs provides support for students as they pursue learning. Learning that totals in heart and intellect, art and industry, under the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And while we have structures in place to support your students, success is largely contingent on their study habits, their engagement of the subjects, and their initiative to make use of the faculty advising, the office hours, and the academic support services that we have in place. So we realize that it will be difficult for you to be far away and to find out that a class isn't going well and you're unsure how to help. And so as you encourage and support them, consider some advice that the jazz legend Miles Davis gives us about owning an experience. He says, it's not the note you play that's the wrong note. It's the note you play afterward that makes it right or wrong. We're going to now introduce you to several offices that are equipped and available to assist your students in playing notes. Many issues are also resolved in these offices that you'll be hearing from next. And I'd say the ones you heard from already. For Academic Affairs and the Catalyst Center for Applied Learning, I will be speaking as registrar at first, and then I will pass it along to Dr. Henry Zonio, who will speak for the Center for Academic Excellence, Dr. Victoria Slocum, who will speak for Academic Accessibility Resources, Shannon Montgomery, who will speak for Cross-Cultural Engagement, and Michelle Kratzer, who you've already heard from, will speak on Global Initiatives, which is our word, also encompasses study abroad, and she'll also speak for Career and Calling. So as we transition, I'm going to also do the share the screen thing here. Hopefully I can get this going. All right, are you able to see it?
Yes.
Excellent, thank you. Okay, so the Office of the Registrar, the reason I start by saying we have a very caring team is that we have found that students do not know what a registrar's office is. And sometimes they think of us as a principal's office or their counseling office from high school. So I just want you to see that we're a caring team. We love students and we want them to visit. So if your student is facing any type of academic situation outside of the classroom, we may not be the ones to fix the problem, but we can send them to where they need to go or suggest the resource that will help them. The types of things that we do is we created their initial schedule. We also helped figure out who their advisor would be because we work with faculty on those schedules. We work with majors and minors and those changes. We have worked with the degree progress audit that they will find in their portal that will pull all of their classes into those majors and will show them their progress as they go toward to graduation. We work with transfer credit and credit by examination, so AP, CLEP, IB, International Baccalaureate. So as transfer credit came in, dual credit, I will mention we will need original transcripts for any dual credit taken in high school. So not just the high school transcript, but that dual credit transcript from the originating institution. We also work with pre-approved transfer. So if your student decides to take a class back close to home next summer, make sure they come by and get it pre-approved at our office because we will help them know how it will come into their credit here, into their degree. We want to make sure your student is not surprised by anything that they do outside of Asbury once they start with us. And then enrollment verification. Enrollment verification could usually be handled now through the student's portal, through that unofficial transcript that they have access to that shows they're an active student, hopefully registered full-time. We'll talk about that in a minute. And they can show that through their transcript. But if you need more information, you need a specific form showing that they're a full-time student at Asbury, that is our office and we can help them with that. Okay, I'm going to show you a few resources that are here on our website. The first is our registrar's office page. Hopefully this will work like it did when I tested it. Here we go. Okay, the registrar's office page on the website. Are you seeing this?
Yes, we are.
Excellent. I won't ask you any more. I just want to make sure the first one's working. Okay, over on the right navigation, you will see that that has a lot of information for you. It has our academic calendar. It has the programs. The reason I wanted you to see the programs here is that is all of our major sheets and our minor sheets that we will be tracking your students' progress through. So if they're looking at different majors and minors, that will have that information there in a very neat, usually one-page format. You can see our advanced placement credit there, our catalog, which I'll show you in just a minute, foundations requirements, which are requirements all of our students meet. You can see the final exam schedule. So you can see a lot of information here, including our forms. And then We also have our catalog. Our full catalog now is online. We are no longer printing catalogs. You notice the navigation moved from the right to the left side of the screen. This is our catalog where all of our academic policies and programs are listed for students, for faculty, for all of us to be following together. So your student is entering under this academic catalog, the 2021 and 2022 academic catalog, and you can search it. You can find all the course descriptions here, and I wanted to make sure you knew how to find this. Again, this is all on our website. I'm just trying to lead you to those pages. If you go to that registrar's office page on the website, you can click right through and find all of these pages. The academic calendar is where you will want to go to find important dates. So I pulled up this fall so that you can see our classes are beginning on the 16th, on Monday, the 16th of August. A really important date for you to be aware of is that Friday. We call that our drop ad deadline, which means classes are locked. Students can no longer be changing classes. They, as of 4 o'clock that day, that is their final schedule for the rest of the fall semester. So that is a really important date. No exceptions to that. Friday, 4 o'clock, the 20th is the final date they can make adjustments. You can also look through here and see family weekend. You can see when midterms will be due. You can see fall break. You can even look into the spring and next summer if you want to see additional dates. And we'll soon be posting next academic year draft as well. And then finally, I wanted to show you the events calendar. This is where, if you're curious about other events happening on our campus, this is the full events calendar. So they pull the academic calendar into this, and you can see a lot of other events happening on campus. So you can see all of the activity that is happening around that keeps us all pretty busy with exciting ways to interact with students. And then your students' Asbury portal, they can go through asbury.edu, and that is what Paul Dupree mentioned, will get them access to all of their personal information. That is where they schedule their classes. That's where they work with the student accounts information, the financial aid information. So be aware of a lot of those details, but if you're not, just head to the website, and a lot of these pages are there for your review. Some benchmark dates that we talked about a little bit when we were on the academic calendar, that ad drop deadline this year, it's the 20th of August, is the first Friday of the semester. Another one for you to look at with your student is if they face any difficulty in a class, the last day to withdraw with a withdrawal grade is very important. Though we hope students won't consider withdrawing from a class, and we will do everything we can to keep them in a class, if they are really struggling, we have a lot of ways to help them if they come early. But if they wait and come later, our options get limited, especially if it's close to or after this withdrawal date. Midterm grades are also posted on that academic calendar as to when those will come from faculty. One thing I always like parents to know is that faculty are not required to post all midterm grades. They are required to post low midterm grades so that students can see if they're struggling. Faculty do have midterm grades for all students. So if your student does not see a midterm grade posted and they're concerned about that, they just need to ask their faculty member or often look in Discovery, our learning management system that Paul Dupree mentioned, and they can see what that midterm grade is because they do have one. They just may not see it. If it's not low, it's probably okay, but it's just not posted. And then final exam week, as I mentioned, you can see that on the academic calendar. That is required for our students. It is not a week that they can request for their final exams to be adjusted to another time so they can take them early and then just stay home between Thanksgiving and Christmas, which we all understand why some people ask that. But we do need them to come back and prepare to be here for final exam week. So I like to go ahead and mention that to parents while we have these meetings. Other helpful notes for parents. I know you've heard this already once, probably twice, probably 3-4 times, but we'll say it again. And that is they need to be checking their email. We find that students, they just really do not prefer email. But now that they are at university, it really is important. They will miss important information that they are required to know if they are not regularly checking their Asbury email, not their other addresses, but their Asbury email. That is the only one that we will email because it's behind a login and a password that that authenticates it's them. So they need to be checking their Asbury email, and we want to make sure they're doing that. I mentioned earlier the importance of maintaining full-time status. For our undergraduate students, that is 12 or more credit hours. And that is important for everything from our athletes to our international students to scholarship students. And there's many other reasons. But 12 or more credit hours is what they really need to maintain for the full semester. Most of our students take around 14, 15 credit hours for their first semester as they kind of get acclimated to university and figure out what else they want to be involved in and in their new life as a college student. I also like to mention to families extended absence situations. Our office is happy to work with you if you face an unexpected situation with your student, such as a family emergency or a serious illness. Just let us know, and we will be glad to take it from there, notify your faculty. We will work with student development on those types of situations. If you need to be caring for your student, you do that and let us take it from here on this end, and we will help keep each other informed as to how we can care for them on the absence piece while that you are caring for the emergency situation. I will also mention that discretionary types of absences, such as doctor's appointments, work needs, all sorts of things that come up. We need students to try to schedule those types of things outside of class. And what we've discovered is often family members are helping students to schedule those types of appointments. So please make sure you're working with your student to try to do those outside of class as much as possible, because those types of absences are what we call refer to instructor types of absences, which means we're not saying they're not excused, but we are sending those to the faculty member. And often that means they'll be using one of their free days, what the students call skips, as a time that they'll be missing in that class. We also have, similar to HIPAA in the medical world, in educational records, we have what we call FERPA. It is the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act that is a federal requirement we are required to follow in higher education, also in K through 12 education. But we have created a document for you in the same location that Paul Dupree led you to. At the bottom of the parent documents, there is a FERPA Basics for Parents. I encourage you to look at that document. It will give you a lot of information. So it's at the Parent Resources, the Registrar's Office, FERPA Basics for Parents. That's the document. And you can look over that. And basically, your student holds the key to their academic information now that they are attending university. So they will determine whether you will have access to that shared portal. They will determine what you have access to. And we will not be able to talk with you about those pieces of information unless you have completed other certain types of requirements and privacy information sheets with financial aid, student accounts. Our office does not have one of those because everything that we see in our office, they see in the portal. So if we talk with you, we will ask for you to include your student in those conversations. One of our goals at Asbury is to help them with what they call adulting. So we want them to be having those conversations and have those conversations with you. So we encourage you, have conversations now as to what your expectations are about grades, schedules, and any other private information. So they're also learning as part of these 4 years or less, some of them have less, that they're also learning how to have these conversations now and in their future. And you're preparing them together with us for that future. And ultimately, our shared goal is to help you for this day that will probably come too soon. The time seems like it passes really quickly. And that is graduation and commencement. We get excited when our students come in, and we love celebrating with them. And this was some of these pictures were this we these were our past two graduation services that we held. And we look forward to celebrating with you and your student as they come in this just a few weeks. And we look forward to celebrating with you as they prepare to go out into the world as an Asbury Eagle. So please do contact our office if you have questions. I will be looking now in the chat. I can't multitask very well. So if questions came in, I'm going to look now and I'll be answering those. Thank you so much for the privilege of caring for your student. We look forward to that. And I'm going to hand it over now to Dr. Zonio.
Hello, thank you, Cheryl. Yes, my name's Henry Zonio, and I am the director for the Center for Academic Excellence. I just want to reiterate what Cheryl said. Yeah, make use of the registrar's office. They're very helpful in figuring out all of those details. My role here, I've been here for, this is my eighth year at Asbury. This is my first year in this role as the director. Prior to this role, I was an instructor for sociology classes. So I've got faculty experience, as well as I was a student here, as well as a number of us have been. I have students who are in university, and I've been different. I was a tutor here at once. I oversee the tutoring, as you'll see in just a little bit. But the Center for Academic Excellence, our goal here is to help students at all levels of academic achievement become better students. And we do that through a number of venues and ways, services. We have peer course tutoring, and I'll talk a little bit about these in a little bit, like break these apart. Writing consulting, academic coaching, and group study, write night and write nights. I want to just draw your attention to the bottom there, the URL cae.asbury.edu. That's the acronym for Center for Academic Excellence. That is how your student will access all of the services that we have available here. One of the things that I like to tell students about our services at the center, at the CAE, is that these are for all students. So it doesn't matter where you are academically, you can come and get either help if you're not understanding something, or if you are trying to get ready to write a research paper and you're the best writer in the world and you just need to have other eyes on it, we are here to provide those services. Most of our services are provided through peer tutors who are trained to in the different courses. So course tutors, they are approved by the faculty who teach those different courses. We have training for writing consultants who are specifically trained to help students think through how they write, everything from brainstorming to finalizing their final draft. Academic coaches, what they do is come alongside students to help in the overall academic setting, everything from time management to trying to figure out what different resources may be available for them on campus, to I just need to figure out how to read the syllabus. So we've got academic coaches for that. We'll also have many different times where students can come in for what we call in like study nights or drop-in nights. So we have different nights where students don't have to necessarily make an appointment for one-on-one tutoring, because we know one-on-one tutoring can be kind of intimidating to initiate. So we've got time. We'll have different times depending on subject matter that students are working on. So we've got write nights scheduled. There are for Spanish classes, we have Spanish tutoring. There will be nights for math and other times where they can just come in with the homework assignments that they're working on, and there will be tutors there to help them with those. When you go to our site, whoops, I just made that disappear there. There we go. On the site, the Center for Academic Excellence, this is going to be the place where your students will be able to access our different services if they want to make an appointment. There's also more information about our different services there as well. Links for homework resources, descriptions of all our services. But yeah, I mean, sending your student off to university can be a very hard thing to do. And students come and don't know sometimes like what they need to do in order to get their work done. And that's why we're here. So encourage them to access our services. All of our services are provided as part of their tuition. So another thing I tell students is if you don't use our services, you're kind of wasting some of your money. So I encourage all students to stop by and see how they can take advantage of these services. Well, I will now hand off to Dr. Victoria Slocum.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm Dr. Victoria Slocum. I'm the Director of Academic Accessibility Resources, and I collaborate quite a bit with Dr. Zonio in the Center for Academic Excellence. And I just wanted to share a little bit about what I do and what AAR consists of. Basically, I have services available for just about any kind of disability or need you can think of. So learning disabilities, ADHD, autism, psychological or mental health disorders, physical disabilities, chronic illnesses, neurological disabilities, traumatic brain injury, and even temporary disabilities. So if your child is an athlete and unfortunately, were to get a concussion, and so they would need, for instance, help taking notes or extra time for taking tests, that sort of thing, I can help them with that. So some of the accommodations I can help provide, as I mentioned, there are note-taking strategies, note-taking accommodations, there are test-taking accommodations, whether it's extra time, whether they get their test in a different format. And speaking of formats, I'm also able to access textbooks in alternative formats. So if the student needs something that a screen reader could read to them, I can access that. If they need an audio version of a book or whatever, there are a number of accommodations available for students with chronic illnesses that affect their attendance or you know, difficulty with assignments. I can help with that. Really there's, it's pretty wide ranging. I'm going to share my screen and show you how to access, my department with, on the website. So if you enter academic accessibility resources, a search for that, or even if you enter disability services, it will bring you to this page. And I will also put the link for it in the chat in a moment. But basically, this just describes what academic accessibility is, what it involves. If your student would like to apply for accommodations, there's a link. You can do that on online. It's very easy and it gets sent directly to me. And then I take it from there. Things to expect. This is really a nice document that doesn't appear to be opening. Oh dear. Okay, well, I'm going to have to fix that. Basically, it's a document that describes the differences between high school and college. There are some significant differences. Probably one of the biggest one being that the student at the post-secondary level is responsible for identifying themselves as in need of accommodation. So unlike high school, and I was a special ed teacher for 20 years, unlike high school, we don't go searching the students out. They have to come to me and talk to me or email me or fill out one of those forms that I just showed you. There's also documents here that talk about the most common accommodations that I provide, and that's right here. And some documents about suggestions for success and also tips for parents as your students head off to post-secondary school. And it's a difficult time for all of us, but if your child has a disability, it can be a little more stressful. So as I said, I'm going to put the link for this website into the chat box. And if you have any questions, please feel free to also put that in the chat box. And I'll try to answer your questions. I'll also put in my email address as well. So thank you.
Okay, I'm going to jump in there. I'm Shannon Montgomery. I'm the coordinator of the cross-cultural engagement graduation requirement. And when I say graduation requirement, a lot of times parents and students sort of tune me out because they think they don't have to worry about it until time for graduation. But it's very important for both to recognize that this needs to be something that you put on your radar from the very beginning of your enrollment at Asbury. So what is the cross-cultural engagement? This is an Asbury initiative to encourage our students to have the opportunity to engage in diversity and global culture and to have a deepened awareness of that culture around us. The cross-cultural engagement is a two-step process. The first step is to complete a one-credit hour course called Cultural Engagement and Responsibility. We encourage our students to complete this course as soon as possible within the first few semesters that they're enrolled here. That way they will be prepared to participate in a cultural immersion whenever that opportunity pops up and they find an immersion that they're interested in attending, then they'll already have that course taken care of because the course does need to be completed before the cultural immersion. So what is a cultural immersion? This is a minimum of 6 nights, an intentional immersion into another culture. This can be international or stateside. Most of our students do the international experience. This can include mission trips through your local church, through mission organizations. It can be a service trip through athletics. It can be study abroad. So many different opportunities, and we try to make students aware of those as they come up so that they can jump in and participate in those as they want. Please remember again that the course is required before the cultural immersion, so that's why it's important for students to get this on their radar and plan strategically. We really, really encourage students not to wait until their senior year to try to squeeze this in right before they graduate, because it's very difficult to make that work, even though we have a lot of students do that. So get that completed as soon as possible. International and third culture students may use their experience here in the United States as their cultural immersion, but they still need to attend the cultural course as well as the cultural immersion assignments. Can a student use a trip prior to coming to Asbury? Unfortunately, no. All cultural immersions are required to be completed after they complete the one credit hour course. So any trips that are taken before their enrollment here at Asbury will not be eligible as their cultural immersion. Main thing to remember is, again, to not wait until their senior year. I send students notifications constantly to try to keep it in front of them, to remind them that they need to complete the course and to start planning and thinking about what they want to do. I'm here in my office to help them to plan what kind of trip would be exciting for them, whether it's an internship or a mission trip. There's many different types of ways to complete that cultural immersion. There's also many suggestions on our CCE website, and I will post that link here on the chat. And if you have any questions, whether it's parents or students, please get in touch with me. I'm here to help you do it. Thanks.
Thank you to Shannon and to everyone and to all of you who have hung with us for an hour and 45 minutes. Again, my name is Michelle Kratzer. I am going to just touch on two other opportunities for your students. One is through study abroad and travel courses. And then the other are the services in our career and calling office. I am going to share my screen. And again, like others, I'm going to take you to the webpage. I just would really, really encourage you to, for all of the presenters today, to be going back to their webpages. We try to keep the content on those pages current for you and for your students. So this is the study abroad and off-campus programs. We have lots of study abroad opportunities as well as travel courses for your students, many partner programs around the world. There is not a major that cannot do a study abroad or a travel course as a part of their major. Of course, there are some for whom that's easier than others. Some majors are more restrictive. And so it is important that if your student, and I hope they are, is interested in part of their Asbury education, including studying abroad, that they would begin to think about this talk to their faculty or academic advisor about this. Let them know that this is something that they have in their mind so that they can begin planning it into their 4 years here. I would like to highlight two study abroad, semester-long study abroad opportunities that Asbury actually runs ourselves. Our faculty takes students every other fall. We have faculty that takes students to Paris. So right now we have students that are getting their passports ready and packing their bags, and they'll be in Paris this fall. And then on the alternate fall, we send students also with faculty to China. And these are opportunities that students can take advantage of for the same cost, typically, that it would cost them to be on campus for a semester. So when I was a college student, I didn't study abroad. I wish that I had. I did do a travel course, which was incredibly formative for me and really valuable part of my education. I thought only people who had a lot of money studied abroad. And so I didn't really think about that as a possibility. So hopefully you've already thought about that and talked about that with your student. But if you haven't, I would just encourage you to do so. So again, study abroad and off-campus programs. If you, lots of great information on the website. We have specific pages that talk about our Paris semester and our China study abroad. But again, lots of other partner programs, lots of travel courses. So if your student is not specifically interested in Paris or China, there are other opportunities for them. And now I would just like to jump over to our Office of Career and Calling. I've served as the Director of Career and Calling for the last since I've come to Asbury. I am very passionate, as are those in our office, about helping your students continue to figure out who God has created them to be, what their unique gifts and their unique interests and personalities are, and how that connects up with the needs of the world and both the world of work when we think about paid employment, but also just the work of the world, God's work in the world. So our staff actually serves as the academic advisors for any of your students who are coming in as undeclared majors. So if your student is not yet declared, then either John Morley or myself will serve as their academic advisor. At whatever point a student declares a major, then they are assigned to an academic advisor in their specific discipline. If your student is undeclared, I would encourage them to reach out and contact our office. They don't even need to wait till they get to campus. We would love to have a conversation with them and start to get to know them and figure out what their priorities are and how we can best serve them as they're in the decision-making process. So lots of resources on this page. Just encourage you to also check that out. I am going to stop the screen share now and come back and put on my courageous class advisor hat and just welcome anyone who happens to be a sophomore. So if you are the parent of a transfer student who will be a sophomore, then you are one of ours. So my husband, Dave, and myself, along with another faculty couple, Keith and Bethany Barker. Keith is one of the art faculty. We advise the courageous class. So we will be meeting your student when they come to welcome weekend, and we'll be giving them a t-shirt and teaching them our class verse. Our class hymn is In Christ Alone, and we'll be welcoming them in. We are excited to get to meet them. That is all that I have today. And I have told Dr. Baldwin that I would go ahead and close out this time for us. So I just want to say again, one more word of thanks and appreciation and excitement. We're really, really thankful that you have chosen to have Asbury be a part of your family's story. And we're really looking forward to getting to know you, and we're looking forward to getting to know your students. And we're ready. It's been a quiet summer. We're ready for them to come back. And we are praying that for all of the good that God intends to accomplish in their lives this year. So I, again, just use the website. I have found particularly like IT registrar, some of these offices where there's just an incredible amount of information that you're trying to process through that, and you get right real down into the nitty gritty. It's their websites are full of really helpful information. As well, just remember, we have that parent page. If you don't remember what it is, just Google Asbury Parent and it'll come up. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you're going to find the resources people have referenced today. Also, early next week, we will upload this session. So the parent orientation session, as well as the PowerPoints people use today. If they're not already uploaded, all of this will be available to you next week. But as well, feel free to reach out even in the next few days and week to the offices represented here if you have specific questions. I'm going to say goodbye and thank you. And maybe I'll close us quickly in a time of prayer, but I will leave this this session open for just a couple of minutes after I finish praying to give myself an opportunity to respond to questions in the chat that are directed to me. And then just to give any of you an opportunity to put something in the chat if you still want to. So let's pray together. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the privilege of being your children and of being on assignment for you. Thank you for each of the families that are represented here and the students, the precious sons and daughters of those who are here. And I pray that you would be with every parent and that you would be particularly present in the last days they have with their students, that conversations would be had that would be life-giving and helpful, and that preparations would go smoothly, that you would calm fears, and that you would begin to prepare the soil to do the work that you have to be accomplished in their students' lives this year. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Okay. Thank you, everybody.